This is episode 70. I'm back, motherfuckers.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
I'm goddamn back.
Dan's back.
Cody, you got some splaining to do.
What is the splaining that I'll be doing?
You have some splaining to do.
What's the splaining?
Hey, Dan. That's my impression of you. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, one, there's that. Two, there is not even 3 seconds into the podcast, I leave you alone and you're talking about 69 in yourself?
It was episode 69 and I was doing it alone.
How does
69ing myself without you.
My show notes, top note is 69 themselves?
The only reason that's your top note is because you're too lazy to move it down to the bottom because you were writing them as you were listening.
How does one 69 themselves?
I don't even know. Honestly, I didn't get to that. By the end of the podcast, I was too exhausted to try.
And then I go, Hey, Cody, I love Fast and Furious. Oh, wow. That is not how I talk.
Jeez, wow, you like did an impression of me doing an impression of you, yeah, but I still did a better you.
Inception. Wow. That's another layer.
Impressive.
So, I'm back. You're back.
Where have you been?
Star Wars Celebration. It was amazing.
Cool.
I have a newfound respect. Like, every time, like, before convention, it's always kind of like, I don't watch Star Wars every day.
Okay.
I don't think anybody does. Well, maybe we know a few people who do.
Yeah.
But I don't do it every day. I sort of kind of stay out of the Star Wars thing, but then these conventions have a way of like putting you right back in there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by day two, it's like, I'm back in it. Like, I'm into Star Wars. And that's very, for movies that are so old, 4, 5, and 6, that's impressive that they can hold a convention every 2 years and it doesn't feel like the same thing.
They have the staying power to keep it going.
Yeah. What other movies could have that sort of international convention? Like Lord of the Rings?
No.
But I think they have one. I think they have a convention.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised by that. Okay.
Or like, I just don't know.
I mean, Comic-Con really kind of does a good way of like generalizing that topic
so that
it works for everybody. And then it's not just Star Wars, it's, you know, it's art and pop culture and everything kind of mixed into one.
But it's very impressive that this is just Star Wars. Of course, there are booths that have all toys of like all different stuff, but it's very small. But like walking through that hall, you don't see those booths. You see Star Wars everywhere you go. There's people getting tattooed Star Wars.
Yeah, that sounds sad.
All over their body.
Yeah, it says the guy with the Star Trek tattoo. That sounds sad.
But it's like, it's incredible. Those movies, and George Lucas says it all the time. He's like, I had no idea it was going to be like this. But it is.
They only do the celebration once every 2 years?
I think it's every two.
I thought it was annually. I don't know why.
I think it's every two. Okay. I think maybe a few years ago they did every year.
I think at some point
it was every four. Wow. I don't know.
Okay.
But the next
time's going to be 2019.
Yeah. And this thing, it's big, man. It, hats off. Like, I give Star Wars a lot of credit. They have dedicated fans. Like, that. Our booth was packed. Prop store. They come to spend money. Like, there's, for those of you who don't know, I work for Prop Store. We buy and sell film props and costumes. Real original props to collectors. We sell them as memorabilia. And at Comic-Con, it's all like, when we go to Comic-Con, it's all watch. It's all look. And it's all snap pics. And then people are like, is this the real stuff? And you have to be like, yes. And like, are you sure? And like, yes. These are the actual movie props, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, cool. And then they snap pictures. Now, at Celebration, these people come in and they're like, so this is the real stuff from the films. And you say, yes. And then they say, I'll have that, 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 and that. It's a very different convention. It's like buying, selling, flipping, like boom, 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 boom. It's so fast. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a good, good time.
When does fandom cross the line to cult and religion?
Yeah, I don't know that it ever does.
Really?
Because I would normally say, like, when it affects your day-to-day life.
So you don't think any of those people that you met over that weekend have let Star Wars affect their day-to-day life?
No, I think it influences their day-to-day life. I'm sure, I don't know, I'm sure there are some people there that, like, eat, sleep, and breathe Star Wars in a certain way.
Yeah.
But are they praying to Star Wars, you know? Like, is it debilitating? Maybe that's where I draw the line.
I mean,
have to watch every movie once a week?
Is that religion, though? Is religion debilitating? Isn't religion, in a way, isn't religion like devoting one's time and beliefs and energies into one mindset and thought and world, right?
Yes. It's handcuffing. It's crippling. You know? Like, if that affects, like, that's what I mean by affect your day-to-day. So, like, if you can't leave the house until you've seen episodes 4, 5, and 6, yes. That's when it's a problem.
So, here's another, with the definition of religion, one of the definitions here, if you just Google religion and they give you the definition here, one of them is a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance.
Well, then, yeah, by that definition,
It becomes the focal point of a lot of these people's lives.
Star Wars is life.
Star Wars is life.
And you know what? There's a lot worse shit that you can be into.
That's true.
You know? If that's your thing, go for it. Spaghetti Monster or freaking General Grievous.
Yeah.
You got it.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I worship General Grievous. Damn.
Whatever floats
your
boat.
Damn, man. That's cold.
I started watching Clone Wars.
It's amazing.
It's really cool.
I'm rewatching it right now too, actually.
Really?
I'm at the end of season one, yeah.
I just popped it on. I think I'm on so like good. Episode 6.
Yeah, it's so good. It gets so much better.
Jenny hates me.
It's so yeah, Madeline hates it too. She's like, I can't believe you're watching this. I'm trying to go to sleep.
It's fun.
Except she sounds much more heavenly and pleasant when she says it. It's more like this, oh my sweet lover. Unfortunately I can't hear the sounds of a blaster at this moment, for my tiredness overtakes my soul.
Pew pew. Jenny was like, Jenny's thing is she thinks I always fall asleep, so she's like, can you give me the remotes before you fall asleep? Because I'll hoard them so that I can get my shows on. It's like I always try to get them on first. Then she's like, we at least give me the remotes because you're gonna fall asleep. And then, like, she thought I was asleep.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'll have the remotes now. And I was like, I'm still watching it. I'm still watching Clone Wars. It's good.
It's so good. It is.
I didn't realize, like, R2 and 3PO are all in it.
Well, yeah, yeah. I thought it was takes like, place during that whole little shebang between two and three.
It's cool. It's fun. I mean, it's nerdy.
It's super nerdy. It's very nerdy. And it's cartoons, but they're pretty adult.
Yeah.
They blast people in the face.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, George Lucas will tell you these are kid movies. They're for kids,
but they're pretty violent.
Yeah. But now, I mean, they're going to keep cranking these things out, and if they're going to be as good as Rogue One in Episode 7, great.
Sure.
Keep making them.
I'm entertained. I enjoy the world. I want to be taken into it. I don't, you know, I don't bring it as the utmost importance, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rewatched 7 when I got back. Moxie liked it. She was like stargazing into it.
Really? Okay.
She like really enjoyed it. And I was like, dude, there's not a lot wrong with that movie. I really, really like 7.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Sure. A lot of colors, a lot of moving objects, a lot of explosions. Yeah. It's
really good. Say you can really tell like all those troopers that get shot and hit, like they're like on this bungee and it's like they just get pulled away.
They really
get yanked by that bungee.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Yeah, Star Wars was great. Celebration was great. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, I like this.
There was a definite adjustment to not having you there. Michael was a beast.
You guys did good.
He backed me up when we were doing it. I backed him up when I thought he was right. And
dude, I couldn't do it.
It was good. You've done it.
It's hard.
You've done it.
Yeah, but I was like heated. It was like emotional.
It was an emotional podcast. Yeah, that wasn't much of an emotional podcast. I mean, I was talking about John Mayer. Okay. Anyway, obviously, you know I had nothing to talk about.
You know, John Mayer, went to college with my brother. They were in the same dorm.
Oh, did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Were they friends?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But John Mayer dropped out. My brother got the degree. Who's winning now, John? Who's laughing now?
Yeah, right. Totally.
So, with Spam coming out on Sunday, we've been getting a lot of feedback from our friends in podcasting. Joe and Phil, those movie guys. Jen and Shayna, You Don't Know Ish. Chris, Corey, and Donnie at More Gooder Than Podcast. And Justin and Chrissy, they've all shared with us this sort of sending us off to Spam.
In the world of Spam, because Sunday,
we don't know what we're getting into.
We don't know. We really don't. We have no idea. But Sunday, live, Facebook, we'll be streaming the Dan and Cody Podcast Spam Challenge, 2 p.m. So check us out. And then after that, if you didn't happen to see it, we'll be posting it on our YouTube page. You can check us out on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and experience it that way. But in regards to these lovely people that have sent us their recommendations as to what they think the best way to eat Spam is, we want to thank you guys for helping us out. Here's what they recommend.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Joe Merle from Those Movie Guys Podcast, and this is my top 10 ways to eat Spam. Number one, Spam and eggs, because who doesn't want Spam in the morning? Number two, a Spam sandwich. You fry that Spam up, throw it in between some bread, call it good. If you don't like sandwiches, how about a Spam burger? Make a normal burger, but no beef. Put some Spam in that joker. Number four is Spam fried rice. Absolutely fantastic with any meal. Number five is Spam tacos. If you like beef tacos, chicken tacos, you'll love a Spam taco. Number six is a Spam grilled cheese. It's a regular grilled cheese, folks. Just got the deliciousness of Spam in there. Number seven is a Spam pizza. I usually do this thing Hawaiian style, but do it however you want. Just substitute the meat with Spam. Number eight, an American classic, the Spam dog. It's just like a hot dog, except you throw the Spam in a hot dog bun. Number nine is Spam and pasta. Any pasta dish you like, throw some Spam in it, gonna make it all the better. And number 10, my absolute favorite is Spam from the can. Take that thing right out, man, slice a chunk off, throw it in the old mouthpiece, call that thing good. Dan and Cody, I can't wait to see the live show, man. Love your show to death. You boys take it easy.
Wednesday to Thursday, I've been feeling a pull in my right testicle.
Okay.
I've been feeling a pull in my right testicle. I've been experiencing some pain. I was a little concerned.
Yeah. Did you go to a doctor?
And so I ended up...
Were they twisted?
Scheduled an appointment, and I went into the doctor, right? Uh-huh. And I needed my annual physical, so they draw my blood. And my doctor, and for anybody that's ever heard my stories about my doctor, he is absolutely insane. And
I
love it because he's like absolutely crazy. He's kind of like socially... He's wonderful because he just gives it to me straight. But
he makes it sound like a problem.
It's strange, right? Like a problem. So to give you kind of an example, here was another great experience with my doctor. So I go in there, and the nurse comes in who – it's the same nurse every time I go. This guy named Francisco. He's awesome. He was there when I peed myself.
Yeah.
That one episode that I told you about, I peed myself.
Right.
Because they took my blood. I passed out, peed myself. Anyway, that was another time. So this time I go in, Francisco's there, and he's asking me questions about my problems. And mm-hmm. he's like, you've been in before. I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy that peed himself a couple years ago. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
He doesn't know you by face?
No, he just remembers the event. So every time I say I'm that guy that peed himself after you took my blood, he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That's a memorable moment for him working. I think I made an imprint, right? Anyway, so he takes all my stuff. Did. I tell him about the testicular pain I'm experiencing.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, well, we'll have the doctor check it out. He takes my blood. He's like, your test results will be ready in however many days. No big deal.
The blood would tell him about your balls?
No, because it was a physical. It was my annual physical. So it was to tell him about all my other stuff that's going on in my body.
Right.
So the doctor comes in, he walks in. How you doing? How you doing today? How you doing? He sits right up to the computer, just kind of like beelines it right to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really say much to me. Hello. Sits down, sits in front of the computer, starts looking at things. Okay. You exercise? And I said, yeah, I try, 3 to 4 times a week. He says, 4 times a week is better. And I laugh. And I was like, yep, sure is.
It sure is.
Sure is. It is better.
So he's taking a couple shots.
And so Then we keep going, and he's like looking over. He's like, okay, okay. Well, he took your blood. And I said, yeah. And he checks my, like, you know, he does the little touches all over my body to make sure everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like, normal, but okay.
Exactly. And he says, well, your test results should be ready in a couple days. And I said, okay, cool. He's like, all right, well, fantastic. And I'm like, well, what about the testicular pain I've been experiencing? He's like, oh, nobody told me about that. And I'm like, all right. The guy just sat here and like took notes, but sure, whatever. So I was like, yeah, I've been experiencing some testicular pain. He's like, okay, well, stand up. Let's take a look.
Wait, when did your doctor turn into Obama? Your doctor's your Obama impression.
But my doctor is like a mumbler. Right? Oh,
okay.
He kind of mumbles. Anyway, so he stands there, and it's really strange. So I drop my pants, and, you know, I'm hanging out, and he comes up to me.
That's always a weird
moment. And it's a weird moment because he's not looking me in the eye. He's actually
looking. Are you on the
paper? No, I'm standing up.
Crinkle paper?
I'm standing up.
I hate that.
He's not like, you know, eyeballs real close to my balls or anything, but I'm like standing up.
Yeah.
And he comes up, and it's like he's looking over my shoulder, but he's pretty close, and he puts both of his hands on my testicles.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, okay, okay, testicle one. We have one testicle. We have two testicles. We have one testicle. We have two testicles. And
is this a game?
I wanted to just be like, after he said two testicles, and we have three testicles. And we have three testicles. And I almost wanted to like cheer it on.
Three,
but he just kept doing that.
Three.
He did that five or six times. We have one testicle. We have two testicles. We have one testicle. We have two testicles. And I just, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, do I need to reassure him that there's two there? Like he's still unsure. Like I just have one giant ball and he's trying to find where they break apart.
Are you sure you're at the right office?
It was such a weird experience. And so we're done. He's like, well, I don't feel anything that's out of the norm.
Right.
He's like, if you're still having problems in 2 weeks, probably best to go see a urologist. Maybe you can explain the pain. You can have like a testicular ultrasound. And I said, all right. Well, thanks, Doc.
I've had one of those. Those are interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they juice up your balls?
Well, I had a little ball on my ball.
Oh, whoa. That's dangerous.
So I was like, what is this thing? And I went in there. And they did on Jenny's belly.
They did
like
it on your KY.
Well, yeah, whatever. And they like looked at it.
And you were good.
Yeah,
cleared up. Cool.
But yeah, it's always weird when they get in on the balls.
Well, and my doctor with the whole testicle one, testicle two, testicle. It reminded me of Wayne's World when he's like closing one eye and closing the other. And he's like on top of
camera one, camera two.
That's how it was when he was saying, "We have one testicle. We have two testicles. We have one testicle. We have two testicles."
I wonder if he's as like uncomfortable as you are at that moment.
Maybe. I mean,
and he's just like trying to talk through it, so like he doesn't think, so that you don't think he's just like jiggling your balls.
No, I think he touches a lot of testicles. He's just like, that's just the way he does it. He's got a motion.
Yeah.
And then that's that. And then we go on about our day. So anyway, that was my Wednesday.
I wouldn't worry about that pain though. It's nothing.
Right.
When I was a kid, I always...
2 weeks I've been having that pain, and I still got a little bit of it, so...
I would always get worried that my mind would get twisted.
Okay. Well, I hope I don't have twisted testicles.
But I heard if they do get twisted and stay twisted, then you, like, balloon up. Like cantaloupe.
Oh, they swell, huh?
Yeah.
Well...
Maybe you just tweak something.
Maybe. Maybe I just pulled a muscle moving something. I don't know. Maybe it just affects it.
Just... get a release on that.
Right.
You know, maybe you just need a release.
You know, what's great about these doctors, though, is these guys don't... This guy would never make it in a small town.
No. Yeah, because he can't remember you for shit.
Well, he can't remember, and it's the whole, like, bedside manner thing. Like, the minute somebody knows in a small town, if, like, this guy's kind of weird and I'm unsure about how he does things.
Yeah.
Like, the minute that happens, like, you're out of a job. Or nobody's willing to move there, so everybody has to go there. It's going to be one of the two situations. We're in a big city, he can kind of just blend in because there's tons of crazy doctors.
Right.
But anyway, but I love
your reputation.
Doc.
Yeah, it's everything.
Love my doc. Anyway.
What's up, Doc? Jen and Shayna from the You Don't Know Ish podcast telling us all they know about spam.
Hey, guys. It's Jen and Shayna from the You Don't Know Ish podcast.
And we want to give you some tips on how to eat spam.
First of all, don't do it. Don't do it. It looks like cat food. Big, gelatinous, gross.
It's like a brick of gelatinous goo. But you got to get past that because it's really delicious. I like to eat it cut up into like quarter-inch slices, and then you pan fry it on each side till it's like dark and crispy. And you can either eat it just like that, or make a sandwich with tomato, lettuce, and mayonnaise.
No. What you have to do is you have to build a huge fire with lots of hot coals, and you hunk it off into big, chunky hunks, and you put it on a big stick, and you put it over the fire, and you char it. Char it really, really, really good. And then you just eat it right off the stick. It's delicious.
Oh, well. Enjoy, guys.
We'll be watching.
Bye.
It's time to call a spade, Cody. Last Wednesday.
Did I call it not a spade?
No, that's a term.
A term of endearment.
Yeah, like when something is something, you call it something.
Like what it is.
Yeah. If what it is what it is, then that's what it is.
Did I call something it wasn't?
No, it's time for me to call something
something. So were you calling something that it wasn't?
No, I'm saying.
What?
Last Wednesday, I was deathly ill.
So were you sick?
Yeah, I was sick.
Deathly?
Yeah. Okay. I felt like it.
Okay, so you were sick.
I was so fucking sick, man.
So you got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah. And from that, I've realized that I might be lactose intolerant. I think I'm it. I think it's it.
You can take a test for that.
I'm it. I know it.
Did you go to a doctor?
No.
Can you pee on a stick and it'll turn the cross blue and you'll know if you're lactose intolerant?
No, I don't think that's how it works.
There's got to be an easy lactose intolerant test.
I'm it, dude. I was in bad shape. I had some food on Wednesday or Tuesday, and then I had some ice cream because it was my coming back dinner.
Okay.
Jenny fixed me up something nice. We had cookies and cream ice cream, and then that was the end. The end of Dan.
You had cheese on your burger tonight. You feeling it?
I mean, I got a little rumble.
So you're not feeling 100% right now.
No, but at first it was stomach. It was stomach problems. A lot of bathroom time, you know?
Okay.
And then I got like a high fever, like weak in the knees, achy everywhere. I had to leave. I got to work at 9. I had to leave work at 9:40. And I came back home, and then I was on the couch from about 10 to 7 p.m.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah. And then went to bed. Then Jenny came upstairs to go to bed. I was drenched.
With what? Milk?
No, fever.
Oh, I thought your body was ejecting milk.
Fever broke.
Want it in it.
But this whole time, bathroom, okay. Bathroom. And like just cleared out. And it's got to be. I can't. I got the lactose free milk now.
You feel better?
I can't. Yeah. I can't eat it anymore.
You know, I think
it's over.
You should go to a doctor and get a test because they can test that with your blood.
I mean, I know. If I have a pizza, it's over. If I have
maybe
ice cream,
it's bread.
It's over.
Maybe you have a gluten allergy.
Maybe, but I don't want to know. I don't want him to tell me.
This is the problem. No,
I don't want him to tell me I can't eat it. I want to choose not to eat
it. That's not how it works, man. It's like saying
it works if that's how I say it.
Really, is that how it works?
Yeah,
really. It's like if a guy has AIDS. And he's like, I don't want to believe I don't have AIDS. I'm just going to have sex because I want to have sex. I'm not going to believe it. That's the situation with your lactose situation.
I don't, no, we cannot compare AIDS to lactose intolerance. If I go untested for lactose, I am not hurting anyone else.
Really?
Yeah.
Who took care of you?
Jenny.
Yep.
I'm hurting her by not knowing if I'm 100% lactose.
Yeah, you are, because now this woman's got to take time out of her day to make sure that you have a bedpan next to you.
Maybe.
Your lactose intolerance
affects the people around
you. It affects the people around you. Now Jenny can't drink regular milk. Now she's got to drink that milk that doesn't have the cow on it. She's got to drink the milk.
That shit. But that cow milk is shit anyway. It's disgusting. You watch one YouTube video about cow's milk, and you will never want it again.
I have milked a cow, and I worked on a dairy farm for a summer. I have experienced dairy. I drink it pure. I drank pure milk right out of the teat.
You have?
Not out of the teat. I mean, it was in a bucket.
And you're worried about spam. Dude, I mean, it's just, it's done. I can't keep doing this to myself.
Okay, well.
But I mean,
my recommendation as a friend to a friend, go get a test.
How will they test? They'll make me drink milk and watch me shit.
They'll do a blood test. It'll determine whether or not you have a lactose allergy. It's simple.
There's a it'll tell
from
blood.
There is a blood test for everything. There is.
What?
Yes, man, of course.
I don't know.
Yes, you can actually download, you can actually do food tolerance. There's an allergy home test that you can do where you, what is it? It says that you can, for $20.
Drink milk, drink a cup of milk, and if you shit your brains out, you have you're lactose intolerant. No, there's the test.
That's not the test.
That's the home test.
You need to find out what exactly it is. Because you can't keep doing this to yourself, man.
I'm done with milk. All right. And also, since I was like deathly ill, like when you get deathly ill, do you just automatically like think you're gonna die?
Never.
Like my life flashes before my eyes. I'm like, this
twice
is
twice in my life this have is I it? Ever felt that I was like, you know, my body is really shutting down right now. I think I could pass.
Really?
And I would be okay with it.
You were cool?
I was cool. I was like, oh, that's fuck. The way it is, that's how I go. I'm so out of my mind right now, I don't care.
What?
Yeah.
I always look like, but it reminds me of you ever seen Contagion?
Who's in it? Matt Damon?
He might be. It's like it's like star studded. Jude Law. I think Channing Tatum's in it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Kate Winslet's in it. Well, anyway, it's this movie about a disease that like sweeps like cities, and it's fucked up. It's like aggressive. Came out in 2011.
Okay.
But in this movie, Gwyneth Paltrow's in it. Yeah, Matt Damon is in it. You're right. Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, okay, I've seen it. If it's Matt Damon, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen all of Matt Damon's movies. I love Matt Damon.
I love Matt Damon. But I was thinking about this movie, and at the end of it, spoiler alert, they're like, they show how the disease, like, began.
Okay.
And is like a bat like shit on a plant and then a pig, or it's like shit on a pig and then a pig ate a plant and then that pig got slaughtered and then that pig got served, and it shows like all the steps of like the pig is now on the truck, the pig is now at the butcher.
So my question with that is, why did they show the pig eating a plant?
Or it was like shit on the plant. Yeah, the bat shit on the plant and the pig ate the plant.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cool.
And then it just shows the steps of like how this gets on the table, and then like the chef was...
Yeah, they do like this over-dramatization to make you fear eating pig ever again.
Yeah, and like the chef was sick, and he like sneezed on like what he was serving, and then like that person got sick, and then it's just like, poof. But it just reminded me of that. I was like, I ate something, a bat shit on a pig and on a plant, and then they ate it, and then
here we
are.
So you thought you were dying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're alive. You're okay.
I'm alive. I'm back.
You feel okay?
I feel okay now. Yeah.
Now all you're going to do is you're going to go into the doctor. You're going to get tested and see what's going on. I don't know why you're being resistant to this, but as a friend, you got to
Cody, I will drink a cup of milk here right in front of you. We'll wait 20 minutes and you will know.
Why? All you got's that lactose-free stuff in your fridge right now.
Chris, Corey, and Donnie from the More Gooder Than podcast share their words of wisdom about spam.
What is up, Dan and Cody? It's Chris and Corey from More Gooder Than.
What up?
And today is your spam.
So we're going to spam you with spam.
We're going to spam you with spam. This should go into your spam filter. So you wanted words of encouragement. Mm-hmm. So here's my words of encouragement. Enjoy eating spam for the first time.
I don't know. And my words of encouragement are be warned.
Be warned.
Yeah.
So do you like spam?
So my story, I've only had it once.
Okay.
I had it when I was camping as like a teenager.
That's how everyone has it.
And it was like reserves for if you don't catch any fish for food that night,
right.
You're eating spam.
Yeah.
And so it is weird. It's in a can. It's got a lot of like gelatinous stuff around it, I think.
The jello around it is off-putting.
It yeah. is. Which I like jello, but not necessarily
like meat
on
jelly?
Meat. So we just, I think we sliced it and fried it over an open campfire. And so, I mean, it's kind of like spam, or not like spam. It's like kind of like ham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's very like kind of gritty. It feels like there's maybe bones and hooves and stuff that are kind of grinded up in there.
It doesn't feel homogenous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Spam. Yeah. And it's the exact same thing. We ate it when we were camping as kids. Yeah. So like I connect it with a memory.
Mm.
So we would either slice it or we would dice it.
Okay.
Slice and dice.
Slice and dice, yeah.
That's our new nicknames for each other. What's up, Slice?
What's up, Dice?
Yeah. Guys, we're taking over your show. But I like it. I think it's good. So the best way that I've always eaten it is with breakfast. So it's either with eggs or with potatoes.
Okay.
So when I'm doing it, don't just eat it by itself. That tastes weird.
Yeah.
So I either slice, dice, put it in with eggs and potatoes, put it in a breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
Breakfast burrito with Spam is delicious.
But why would you choose Spam over ham?
Because it's canned. You can,
it's, they make canned ham.
They do, but like it's more expensive. Spam is cheap, mm-hmm, and it's in the can. It's going to stay for forever.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, that meat jelly.
Yeah. You can't beat that. But although I think there's some meat jelly on some canned ham too. Yeah. That's just kind of, it just, it's all the juices and oils, you know, they congeal.
Mm, delicious.
Yeah.
But anyway, good luck, you two. Yeah. And I honestly hope you enjoy it. I hope like you find something, mm-hmm, that you really love.
It's, yeah, not going to be Spam, though. They'll find something they love, but it won't be Spam.
But hey, Dank Odies for life.
Later.
You're a diet soda drinker?
Not really.
No?
I don't like it.
Do you? But you drink it, you just don't remember.
I used to drink a lot of Coke Zero.
Yeah, right?
And
but you don't remember drinking it. You want to know why?
Why? Memory loss?
Diet soda leads to a greater risk of dementia.
Really?
I think you've got it.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to tell you, man. Diet soda, that's what's basically been in the news. Diet soda leads to a greater risk of dementia.
How did they get to this?
I don't know. But in other news, though, umbilical cord cells seemingly boost brain power in mice, which means I can now offset the effects of my diet soda habit with a spongy umbilical cord snack.
That's why they tried to sell us like Moxie's like cord blood.
Did you drink it?
No.
You look like really fresh and young though. You sure?
It costs extra.
Oh, it does. Okay.
That's it's such bullshit. Your kid's born and they're like, oh, by the way, you want this cord blood? I'm like, that costs extra? They're,
you like rip it, yep, out of his hand, you're damn right, you bite, yeah, into it like beef jerky.
But then I saw him still take the cord blood. I'm like, where's his cord blood going?
Really? He took it?
Yeah, they still take it.
Did they clone your baby?
Probably. Science. That's a good baby to clone.
Science.
But yeah, they're like, they just try to upcharge you. I'm
so,
like, fuck no.
So you had anything else go on in your life?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Do you want to get it off your chest before I dive into mine?
Sure. I got some things.
Really?
Yeah. One question I had was, when the hell did people stop pronouncing the letter H? These fuckers that are like ohm and like
ohm,
homage, and like
just so you know, homage has no H in it.
It has, it's homage. You pay fucking homage to somebody. It's not a homage. And they're like, I have to go to the hospital. Like, so at some point, somewhere...
Who do you know calls it an hospital?
Dude, people are going insane with this...
Who do you know?
People are going nuts with this non-H thing. Huge. Yeah, fucking huge. When did it become huge?
Well, you know when it became huge.
It's huge. I always said huge. Humongous. People are like...
I have never heard anybody call it an hospital.
Dude, man, it's happening.
Hello there, I have to take my baby to the hospital.
It's happening.
No, it's not.
And they're coming, and you know what? They're coming from my last name, too. Been 10 years, I'm like, the Ills.
The Ills.
Hello, Daniel Ill. I'm like, why is the war on H? There's a war on this letter, and I don't fucking get it.
You got to choose sides, Dan. Whose side are you on?
I have a huge problem with this.
I don't know if it's that huge.
Who's like, why? Why huge? Why now huge? Do you remember? Like, you remember when people said huge, right?
No, man. It's always been huge.
Humongous?
Humongous was a cartoon character back in the 80s. His name was Hugh. He went by Hugh. His last name was Mungus.
Don't you play coy with me, man. You know what I'm talking about.
All right. Whatever. Well, I got to go to the hospital and get my wood drawn.
It's true. Look, I Googled it. It's true because I Googled it.
It's true. If Google said it, it's true.
Here, somebody says, is it just me? I've noticed many people, including national news anchors,
who's saying this,
mispronouncing words like mountains, where it sounds as though they are more or less dropping the letter T. See, they're trying to get the T out of there now, mountains? Too. Mountains.
Mountains. I don't know, man. I really think somebody should take you to the hospital. It's so dumb, Dan. Nobody does it.
This is a huge, huge problem.
Oh, I love Barack Obama. I've always appreciated his message of hope.
There are two.
I have so much hope in my heart.
Here's what they're saying.
I have so much hope in my art. Is that what you're saying?
We need hope.
I have so much hope in my op. My art. Anyway.
There are two main reasons that H is not pronounced in an English word. One, derivative. This happens when a word derives from a language in which H is silenced, including, like, honor. It's not honor. I don't understand that.
Or honer.
But, like, that rule does not apply for every word that starts with the letter H. And people are doing that.
Well, man, you know, language changes. Do you really think people spoke the way we spoke 100 and something years ago?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're wrong. It's not the same.
I think do was do. I think home was home. It's not ohm.
Depends. If you're Irish, it's ohm.
Ohm.
Anyway.
Not impressed.
I don't know, man. I don't know the solution to fix people's speech patterns. But I'll tell you what. That's not something the Dan and Cody podcast can solve.
It's something we can bring awareness to. You guys, say H's. For me, please, do me a favor before I put you in the hospital.
Would you please do him the honer and make sure that you use the H properly from this point forward?
Please help out and say H's.
And now, Justin and Chrissy from So I Married a Movie Geek decided to give us a little tip on some spam.
What's up? This is Justin.
And Chrissy.
And we've got a podcast. It's called So I Married a Movie Geek. But we're not here to talk about ourselves.
Nope.
We're here to talk about Dan and Cody.
Yes.
And the fact that this weekend, they're going to be eating spam for the first time.
Taking one for the team.
Ugh.
Justin, let me not judge.
This is me puking.
Many people live off of this sustenance of food.
So we're vegetarian.
Yes.
Chrissy's never eaten spam either before.
This isn't about us, Justin.
But I looked this up. I think it's made of pig anus, guys. Yeah.
I think Justin wrote that Wikipedia entry himself.
Like, really, like the worst of the worst of pig anuses. Like, they, like.
Do they rank pig anuses?
They had a lineup of pig anuses, and they're like, oh, that's the worst. Let's mass produce that. And now you guys are going to be eating it. So, congratulations.
Enjoy, guys.
Yay.
Sunday. Was the March for Science across the world.
I saw you went to that, and I was confused.
Why were you confused? I went to the March on Science. Here's the interesting thing. I understand
what happened. What did you bring about to science?
I didn't bring anything about it. I'm there to support science.
Because walking physically.
Because funding has been. Yes, but you're just like my brother in this scenario. Like, you don't understand why people get out, and it's not even fight for a cause, but to show support for a cause. So I get it. You get it. You just don't like it.
No, I think it should be done on a weekday.
What?
Because then you get the people who really give a shit. They'll take off work.
Here's the funny thing. So I went there, and I'm going to give you kind of like two sides to this whole crazy argument. To me, it was like an interesting way to get people together and spend money.
Mm.
You had like food trucks lining the streets.
Yeah.
You had food trucks lining the streets. You're there to promote science. And then there's all of these booths to find out like how you can help, right? Which is helpful. That's great.
Yeah.
You get all the information you need. But there's also people out there selling buttons, selling tees.
Yeah, and what is it? It's for money.
That's how you help. It also, like, the grouping there needs to be funded. So that's helps funding the whole event, which I get.
Right.
But it's just very interesting how you can really inject some commercialism into these major let's do good events.
I'm not saying that science isn't important. I'm just saying it's a photo op.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there,
so I could make the argument that you don't think science is important.
I care about science.
You do? You
I like it.
You like it. You like science. So you would like, if you were in a position to where, say, you needed to find out whether you were allergic to something, would you take advantage of science to help you determine if, say, I don't know, you're lactose intolerant?
I appreciate the options that science provides us with.
Okay.
I appreciate the benefits that science has created for us.
Yes.
But I do not appreciate them enough to walk down the street and say I like it.
Okay, cool.
You know?
The main, I went because
I hated science in school, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was somebody, like, that could really help some people make science a little more fucking cool in school.
Yeah, definitely.
We need better fun science teachers. Yeah, all of mine were fucking sticks in the mud. We need the
proper tutelage to inspire and motivate kids to get involved in science.
Kids want to see stuff blow up. If you could blow it, like, just get a
there's
room.
There's nothing that's more spectacular in the universe than a supernova. And that blows up, and that destroys galaxies. Not galaxies, but it destroys. It definitely can destroy, you know, a small grouping of planets.
Yeah. But, I mean, kids want to see things grow, explode, or fly. So if you made science focused on that stuff, and then you kind of sprinkle in the other stuff, maybe get more people roped into science.
What would you ever march for?
I would march for life.
What does that mean?
I would march. I don't know.
Like, what would motivate you to get up and say, okay, I got to take a stand? And marching is like, in a strange way, voicing yourself with the group of many. Because the whole point of these marches is it's the power of the group. It's not the power of one voice. It's the power of many.
Right. And I get that. It's but symbolic. What did the power of podcasts? Yeah, I would march for podcasts. What some dude at City Hall looked outside his window and was like, oh, a lot of people like science. Guess we better get back on the science.
Just like you stating earlier that the Dan and Cody podcast can't do anything about, what were we talking about, but we can bring awareness to it.
I said we could.
No.
You said we can't.
No, I said we can't, but you said, but the Dan and Cody podcast can bring awareness to it.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So it may not change the man at City Hall's mind, but what does it do?
I think
it puts it in the public eye. I'm going to fight you on this, Dan Hill.
Dude, us talking about science right now is more than you personally did in that march.
What are you talking about? I walked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I stopped and grabbed myself a brick oven pizza. It was delicious.
But I think more people are going to hear your voice talking about science right now than anyone out there in the street did.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true.
You see how many people out there? It was one voice.
Check the numbers.
It wasn't many. It wasn't a little voice. It was many voices that made one powerful voice that brought attention.
Right, but everyone there already liked science.
That's the whole point.
Well, you got to talk to the people who don't like science.
The people that are cutting
the people that didn't like science
programs. Yes,
the people that didn't like science, that don't give a fuck about science, didn't even know there was a march. But now they do because we're on the podcast talking about it.
Yeah,
bigger impact. Boom!
Wow! You're getting little Donald Trump over here, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I dig science.
What can I say? Those 3,000 Twitter followers are going to understand what it's like to be affected by science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science.
Anyway.
I would march for interracial marriage. I would march for children.
Like, what does that look like? What does an interracial marriage march look like to you?
Just me and Jenny.
You and Jenny are just walking down the street?
Yeah.
With a bunch of other you and
like,
Jenny?
What is a march then? Like, a march is somebody doesn't like something, so you get a group of people to march.
You're saying if they're going to outlaw interracial marriage,
I'll march for that.
You're going to walk down and march for that.
Right.
Okay.
I'll march for sports in schools. If somebody was like, no more sports in schools, I'd be like, that is a problem. Let's get out there and march.
But you won't march for science.
I would probably skip it. I would probably skip that.
You did.
I did skip that one. Yeah.
Madeline's getting upset over here. I don't know why. I'm just having a conversation with the edge.
I'll march for sports in school.
I'll march for sports in school, but if I'm marching for science, I'm sorry. I'd rather put that aside and focus purely on sports.
Yeah. I would march.
You think in the big picture that sports has a greater effect than science on your everyday life? I mean, I saw how you reacted to the Wizards losing tonight, so I guess it does.
I was upset. Dan was getting upset. I was upset today. I haven't watched many Wizards games this year, but when I do and they play like that,
garbage. Woo! Garbage.
Hot garbage.
Anyway, no worries.
But I love science. I appreciate that you're passionate about it. And
I don't know if I'm passionate about it. I went to take pictures.
You marched.
Yeah, I marched, but I marched for like, I didn't even go all the way. I got to L.A. Grand Market, and I told you, I went in and I had a brick oven pizza. By the time I was done with it, I walked out, and I was like, they were now opening up the streets to cars.
But who's the person who's like, all right, guys, march is done. Is there a leader?
No, they had a front. They did. They had somebody that had a sign for the march that it was named after and like everything.
Okay.
So
they're like the grand.
Like I got down there at like 10, and they didn't start marching until 11:30. And I was like, I'm hungry.
You're like, guys,
come on. But I got a ton of great photos.
That's cool.
Awesome pictures. Did you see the one with the guy in the middle, like walking the street?
No.
I also took this picture of like this garbage can filled with garbage, just overloading. And there's this big giant picture of like, what's her name? Some model girl. And the picture is famous for love or something like that. It was just, it's not LA. Science. It's very LA.
So LA.
Yeah. Gilbert and Johnson from the Gilbert and Johnson podcast give you their best favorite ways to eat Spam. Play that Gilbert and Johnson moment.
Well, you gotta eat Spam with your feet.
Now calm down there, Gilbert. You know damn well your feet ain't a utensil.
I swear the sweat from the sock all day, and then you throw that Spam on there, gives it a little taste of tang.
And don't forget to add that barbecue sauce, because without it, all you've got's a sock and some Spam.
Hey, Jasper, bring me over the last bit of Spam.
Come
out over here.
I'm buying a lot of movies, a lot of VHSs. For Moxie.
Yeah, I saw that.
For her development. I wanted to get your take on what movies are important to shaping a kid's childhood. Neverending Story, I think, is there. You know?
Yeah, if you want to give her nightmares.
No. That's an important one.
It's as a scary kid. As shit.
But it's also a great message. Like that's why I think it's cool. Cause like it is an adventure. It's a little scary, but it's a good take on life.
It does. It takes the kid
gets bullied in it.
Yeah, the kid gets bullied. You do see the forces of evil. You do get a very clear line between what is good and evil.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're still into potentially being bad. It's kind of a Star Wars story.
He has to be brave and continue reading the book. You know,
should push through it. It's like it doesn't matter how tough it gets.
Yeah.
You got to finish this.
Yeah. So I think that's an important one.
Yeah, that's a good message.
I don't know. You got any off the top? What movies were like shaped my
youth?
Land Before Time? Bought it. Yep, that's a great one.
I did watch a lot of Land Before Time because of Land Before Time was big in my day because Pizza Hut had a big running with it.
Yeah.
They had their little puppets.
Yes.
Like these little hand puppets.
Oh, those would be
those
cool to collect.
Rubber ones. I remember those, and then I remember the book. It was really big for me at that time, so I went to Pizza Hut a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it motivated me to read, because I was like, pizza? I love pizza.
Yeah, dude.
I'll read that book.
Book It was awesome.
Yeah, Book It was a great program.
Yeah, the pin and the buttons.
Kids love pizza. You had Ninja Turtles, which also helped push the whole, like, you want pizza? Ninja Turtles love pizza. You love pizza? Book It.
Read books.
Yep, exactly. It was interesting how I actually think Book It was successful.
They still doing Book It?
I don't know if they are. But Book It was successful primarily with boys because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, in my opinion.
And remember if your class, there was a you goal of getting the personal pizzas.
Yes.
But then there was the class goal, and if you did, you had the pizza party.
Yeah, I remember.
And
the
like
pizza party.
Our teacher would fucking pit us against each other. She would be like reading it out. She'd be like, Jonathan, Jonathan hasn't read any books. And everyone would look over and be like, God damn it, Jonathan, you got to get your act together.
Do you not like pizza?
Yeah.
Do you not like pizza, you clown?
Like, he would get bullied like shit. Like, you better read a book, Jonathan.
Yep.
God damn it.
And I got to be honest. Those little bucket awards, they were pretty fulfilling to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the pizza as much as, like, I got that little coupon. Mm-hmm. Coupon.
Coupon.
Coupon. Coupon.
Coupon.
Coupon. I will, So, and then you got to take it in there, and everybody at Pizza Hut that was working behind the counter looked at you like you were just so cool.
Yeah, they were all in on it. Like, yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, those were the days.
But, all right, so Land Before Time, faux show, mom dies in that. That's tough.
Yeah, it's a Bambi moment.
The friendship.
Yep, friendship.
Little Ducky.
Bonds.
Ducky was the man. Gotta love
Ducky. I would actually make the argument that in Land Before Time, it brought forth the television show Girls.
Because of Sarah?
Because of Sarah and that whole connection with friendship and how it's important.
Was Sarah a lesbian?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows if Sarah was even a girl.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. It's very true.
I assumed it was a girl.
You did.
Because try Sarah.
Because you're sick.
And my sister's name was Sarah.
Open to it.
Yeah.
And then Ducky. Nobody knew. Ducky was like the transgender person in that whole group. You don't ever know. You don't know where Ducky lands. You don't know where Ducky stands. It's just kind of like... kind of ambiguous at the same time.
And then the Spike. I didn't like Spike. He was too
Spike
quiet.
Was the mute butch lesbian. That's why. That's like this is. That's what Spike was. Spike was the mute butch lesbian that Sarah was really into.
And Littlefoot was just keeping them all together.
Littlefoot is like the model. You know, long neck, beautiful legs,
sexy,
just. Leader of the group, brains and all.
Handling biz. Kicking
right?
ass, taking names, and jumping then, over and lava.
Then, and then who was Scartooth?
Oh, was it Scartooth or Sharptooth?
Sharptooth. Sharptooth was
Sharptooth. I got to watch this movie immediately. Stop the podcast.
Sharptooth represented the predator that's in our lives.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for. And if you're in a group of girls, you got to watch out for predators.
Was Ducky a girl?
Nobody knows. Petrie.
Oh, Petrie.
Petrie was the drug addict.
Petrie was a little bit intoxicated the whole movie.
Petrie was a drug addict. They were the one that, like, that whole group of friends had to keep lifted up. I'm telling you, this is Girls.
It's Girls.
This is Girls. This is the television show Girls.
Maybe Sharptooth was Adam Driver.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. maybe. That's right. That's right.
And Littlefoot had that leaf. He always kept with him?
Sure it was.
A little memento?
A little ganj to cool the stress when Sharptooth got a little close.
The leaf will keep you going, homie.
Exactly. That's right. Keep going, Littlefoot.
What did they have to find? The valley.
Yeah, they had to find what the hell is the valley?
Get to the valley.
Yeah. Well, you know. What was another big... You don't want to know. It wasn't so much a movie. Is growing up, there was a Donald Duck cartoon. That really affected me.
DuckTales?
No, yes, I watched DuckTales. But it was a specific cartoon that Disney made that's maybe 7 minutes long.
Try me, I love Donald Duck cartoons.
Okay, you'll know this. It's the Donald Duck with the devil Donald Duck and the good Donald Duck. So Donald Duck like walks in and I forget, it's been a while since I've seen this.
I want Mox to actually like prefer Donald and Daisy over Mickey and Minnie because I feel like Minnie has no personality and Mickey is just full of himself.
Donald's the way to go because Donald actually really plays the whole right and wrong scenario.
Yeah.
And in this specific cartoon, he does.
Yeah.
Like the devil like implores him to like make these bad choices, but the good Donald's like, you can't do it, Donald. You gotta make the right choices.
I feel like I might have seen this.
You probably had, like, I think, man, I used to watch it over and over and over again.
I watched one over and over again where Donald is trimming his tree and he finds Chip and Dale in it, so he's trying to kill them.
What?
Yeah, Donald and Chip and Dale like crossed over all the time apparently, and like they like
the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, Chip and Dale. Chip
and Dale, Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale, we're the strangers.
But like those guys, like Launchpad, those are all later. This is like original Disney cartoon.
Okay,
so it was just Chip, just Dale, and like they, like Donald's cooking pancakes.
I so wanted to bang Gadget. I had to get it out of there. I'm sorry. I had to say it. Sorry, Madge. You're my gadget, babe. You're my gadget.
You're my gadget.
Anyway.
But like they, Chip and Dale, like tried to like get into Donald's house, eat his pancakes, and like they fight, and it's great.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'll send you. It's on YouTube. I'll send you it. It's great. I'll post it on our Facebook, on our Twitter and
do
stuff.
Do it. Because I want to see if I can find this specific Donald Duck episode. So he gets a decision to like smoke. There's this weird thing where he's supposed to smoke this cigar, and the devil kind of forces him to do it.
Here it is.
It's called Donald Duck Cartoon, Donald's Decision. The National Film Board of Canada, in conjunction with the local War Savings Committee, presents. And so what it is he like, why he's sleeping? What happens? Come on.
I love that these are all on YouTube. Like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, it's more and more, it's important for me, for Moxie, to see these type of things before the new stuff. I feel like the new stuff isn't as intellectual. Is that the right word?
Zootopia.
Yeah, Zootopia is good.
Yeah, Zootopia is good.
But like, I wanted to like appreciate this stuff.
This is interesting because this cartoon represents Donald either keeping his money or donating his money to the war. That's what's so crazy about this is it shows the times in how we as Americans were so committed to being like united mm-hmm. in one front, and that even the outside voices were pushing us to help, like, you know, unite to win the war. People had to give their money. They had to buy bonds to win the war. We need money to support and fund our military.
Mm.
So that's what this is. He's basically having to take his money in and donate it to the war to buy bonds, invest. It's not even so much donating as it is apparently investing in the bonds. But it explains to you what happens when you invest. But this was for Canada specifically. And it's really, really interesting.
Interesting.
But that's called the Donald Duck cartoon, Donald's Decision. You can look it up on YouTube and it's there.
We'll post it on our...
It's really crazy. Yeah.
On our thing.
Anyway, so... I don't know. That from a movie standpoint, you know, I watched tons of movies as a kid. I love Ghostbusters a lot when I was a kid. Batman was really important to me.
But like child.
I was 6 when Batman came out and I watched it. I remember, I think I've said this before. I remember walking past the cardboard cutouts of Batman, Michael Keaton's Batman and Jack Nicholson's Joker. And I remember like holding my dad's hand and looking up and being like blown away.
Like, wow, it's Batman.
That's Batman.
I got her the original Pete's Dragon.
That was a good one. I watched Pete's Dragon a lot. The original Pete's is good.
Yeah.
Chitty Chitty Bang Pippi Bang. Pippi Longstocking.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It's weird, but it's
that
good.
That is real
it's good
weird.
For kids. I and watched, what is the one with the little...
She's a porn star now.
Good for her. You got to find work. It's a tough economy.
You got to work.
You know, depending on who you are, it's a tough economy.
That's true.
I would also say that the other big one was Annie, the original Annie, Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
Really offensive. It's pretty adult, and I'm surprised she's that like they let kids watch it.
She's the drunk.
Yeah, she's an absolute Hannigan. Drunk. Absolute drunk.
And Tim Curry.
Yeah, and she beats kids, and it's kind of like hard to watch. Like, I can't believe that's real.
My sister used to watch that all the time.
I watched it with her 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah. And it's completely offensive, right?
It is.
It's like, it's so adult.
She's like drinking in the bathtub, like hiccup.
It just shows, like, it's so funny. You see these things from your childhood, and it definitely defines the times.
Right.
Things are very different.
And that's why those movies are better, because you wouldn't see that shit today.
There would be a lot of people that would make the argument against what you're stating. Like, I don't want to have to put my... There's so much already on the internet and in the world mm-hmm. that it's like, you know, closing your children off from a lot of that, you may feel it's more beneficial. Personally, I'm totally okay with it. Like... If I had a kid, I would definitely watch. I'd make sure I know what they're watching.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of like slowly, you know, seep that into their consciousness to kind of help them become aware of the world outside of themselves.
Yeah. I'm not going to force feed her the old stuff, but I'm going to slip it in, you know?
Yeah.
And me and Jenny, we're not going to be the here's a phone at dinner, watch YouTube, you know? That's not us.
Not at all.
She'll
at
be in, she'll, we'll try to,
because I can't imagine you, like, you giving her your phone. You're going to be using it at lunch.
Yeah.
And dinner.
I'm like, uh-uh, babe.
Sorry, I got some Dan and Cody podcast to rep.
Sorry, monkey, I got to send this tweet.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And if that's not enough for you, we're all over social media, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy and shit, all right?